I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Of using a military operation to be able to finish this regime once and for all, to put it on a path where it's going to collapse. And what you're seeing here is a force being built to, one, be able to defend when Iran conducts a retaliation attack against U.S. bases and also against Israel, but two, to have the offensive punch to really conduct not a strike, but a campaign against Iran, which would likely last not for a couple of days, but actually longer than that. And that means to take down the civilian and military leadership, all these repressive organizations, to include the IRGC, that have been punishing the people. This is a comprehensive plan to actually take Iran off the board. No president has had this opportunity. This president does.
Retired four-star General Jack Keane on Fox News talking about where we stand with Iran. We have a naval armada in place. We have numerous bases on alert. We've made it very clear to Iran, you're not going to continue building any nuclear devices of any type, not even for civilian structure at this point. Talks are scheduled Friday between U.S. Ambassador Witkoff and an Iranian leader. We're not sure which one yet. Bottom line is, will it accomplish anything? In the meantime, the saber rattling is escalating, especially in Iran. Iranian lawmakers chanting death to America, death to Israel. These are the lawmakers in Iran. Death to America, death to Israel. And they're addressing the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. In other words, they're standing ready to fight. And they want to kill, obviously, everyone in our nation and Israel and anyone who does not conform to the jihadist view. Thanks for joining us. Hour number one, Larry Connors, USA, the 3rd of Feb, and here we are in our first hour. We're here every Monday through Friday for you from 6 to 8 p.m. And from 6 to 8 p.m., we are streaming video while we're on the air, so you can watch the program. How do you do that? We go to Newstalk STL, Rumble, Facebook, Twitter. And if you miss anything, everything is put up later as a podcast for you at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook. Very easy to stay in touch with us. And with Larry Connors USA, we're always going to make sure you get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You will know more by the time we finish this hour than you do right now. That's not to say you're not smart and intelligent, but we're always digging for information that might have slipped past you. In our next hour, the fraud yet to be uncovered. Look to L.A. Also, Gregory Wrightstone fighting back against global warming. That, again, is in our next hour. Later in this hour, a major news agency is sounding the alarm. The alarm is there are two... Oh, my God. All right, get composed here for a moment. There are too few Somalis in the Winter Olympics. What? My boots on the ground, Andrew in Chicago, sent me that, and he also asked, so they're going to look at the NBA next, see how many Somalians are in the NBA? I said, well, I might as well, right? We will have that story coming up here shortly. And our story behind the story. Today, the polygraph, the lie detector. I did a story on it years ago, and I lied more than once and got away with it. That story is still to come. Back to the issue with dealing with Iran and where it stands right now, this report from Fox.
Iran says it has summoned all of the European Union ambassadors in the country to protest the bloc's listing of the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, as a terror group. President Trump says Iran is now seriously talking with the United States, even as he highlights the presence of powerful American naval forces in the region. Our chief national security correspondent, Jennifer Griffin, has details tonight.
After a warning from CENTCOM, Iran now says it has no plans to carry out live fire exercises in the Strait of Hormuz, despite announcing last week the IRGC Navy would be holding drills in the narrow strait. In the Red Sea, the guided missile destroyer USS Delbert D. Black conducted a joint military exercise with Israel Sunday.
Americans should know that if they start a war, this time it will be a regional war.
Yeah, that's what they're threatening. But he also knows if there is a war, you will cease to exist, and you will be targeted. In the meantime, we continue to have our ICE agents and other federal agents on our streets doing their job, trying to protect Americans, grabbing illegals off the streets wherever they are, especially if they're convicted of numerous crimes and they're yet allowed to roam free in sanctuary cities and states. A lot of focus and pressure have been put up on Department of Homeland Security Secretary Noem, and she was addressing that. And then Senator Kennedy from Louisiana was asked, do you think it's time to get rid of Noem?
That we can always do better, and we learn from every situation that we're in. We see a very organized, well-funded campaign of violent protests against our law enforcement officers. And so we're going to continue to get as much information as soon as possible to give a strategy to protect people, protect our federal buildings like the president laid out yesterday. And we're going to make sure that the American people are safe.
In your view, Senator, has Secretary Noem sufficiently acknowledged the mistakes she's made and her people made in Minnesota?
Well, I haven't heard it. She might have, and I just didn't hear it. I guess I'd make 3 points quickly. Well, number one, I'm a big Tom Holman fan. I think he knows what he's doing. I think he exercises prudential judgment. I would leave him in charge. Number two, I think most Americans agree with me that illegal immigration is illegal. Our immigration statutes are not some second-tier laws. I support enforcing them. How you enforce them matters.
Now, that's the key, because we know we've seen the violence on the streets where agents have had to shoot to protect themselves and others. And yes, two deaths blamed directly on those shootings. One under close investigation at this point. The first, Renee Good, apparently shows to be justified in everything that's been presented. May be more to come, but right now it appears to be fully justified. The second one, still under question. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. And the senator is right. He said, we will enforce our laws properly execute them. The trouble is the Democrats and the legacy media helping from the sidelines, cheering on protesters to attack federal agents doing their job. And I'll tell you, among those you'll find lining up on that side would be Democrat Congressman Hakeem Jeffries. But I want you to know something. He will not even consider expelling a Florida Democrat currently charged with defrauding FEMA of $5 million.
Greg Stubbe plans to force a vote to expel Congresswoman Sherbles McCormick this week, who has been indicted for allegedly stealing federal funds. What is House Democratic leadership's stand here? Are you opposing this effort and standing, I guess, with Sherbles McCormick?
Yeah, I mentioned on Friday that Congresswoman Sherbles McCormick is entitled to the presumption of innocence, like every other American.
Yep.
I'm a hard no as it relates to the effort to expel her, and it's going to fail.
The problem with that, and I agree with him, she's charged only, not convicted. But how many times did they call for Trump's head or any administration official with inside the Trump White House when the slightest whisper or rumor was going around, they did something wrong? Get rid of them right now. No trial. Just declare them guilty and be done with it. The hypocrisy once again raises a stench level in this room.
Director Speedy plans to force a vote.
You heard him point out that he was not going to vote to expel her. And yet the hypocrisy is there. I'd mentioned earlier, and we're going to talk about it in more detail later, too, about you need to be watching for the next fraud to be uncovered. Part of it in L.A., that's going to be a big one. And now Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa announcing multiple reports identifying almost 900 accounts linked to the Nazi regime, hiding hundreds of Nazi-linked accounts with billions of dollars. That's still something to be fully uncovered. But don't expect the Democrats to do the heavy lifting if it's going to get them in more trouble. And they find the strangest things to go after. They get support from the legacy media again. And here we are, and I've got it right here in my hands, from the associate... The associate editor, as he's listed for the Daily Caller, it's reporting on an Associated Press piece titled, Europe's Rising Diversity is Not Reflected at the Winter Olympics. Culture plays a big role. So they went ahead and named European countries, the story, and the video posted focusing primarily on Sweden. It prominently featured one Somalia immigrant to the country who has a passion for snowboarding and yet does not appear to compete in the sport professionally. They're raising concern there are too few Somalis being counted and included in the Winter Olympics. This is Associated Press reporting. Again, they're looking at and criticizing a Nordic country for having too few non-white athletes on the 2026 Winter Olympics team. Let me continue some of the Associated Press reporting on it. Quoting, immigration from Africa and the Middle East is changing the demographics of Europe's top winter sports countries, but that has not really transferred to their largely white rosters heading to the Milan Winter Olympics. For instance, Team Sweden is almost entirely made up of ethnically Swedish athletes, which is hardly a reflection of the country's diversity, as Sweden has welcomed a historic number of asylum seekers in the recent decade. They have done that. But first of all, did they bother checking if anybody was trying to compete and get on the team and got rejected and what nationality they were originally? Color, ethnicity, anything? Or just look at that. I don't see any, not just, but I don't see Somalians in there. I don't see Somalians on the Winter Olympic team. And when I do see them, they're very few and far between. The story continues, quoting a woman, saying her thoughts running through her mind when she began hitting the ski slopes in northern Sweden. And I'm reading from the AP story. As a black woman from Somalia, she felt like an alien. Well, she was different, but she obviously was capable to make a run and make the team. Goes ahead and says, a few years later, snowboarding is a 30-year-old student's big passion. It is helping her integrate into her adopted country society better than she could have imagined. And what she'd love to see now, other migrants experiencing the same joy. I have no problem with that. If you're qualified and your country wants to put you on the team, so be it. It's their decision. If Sweden wants to put an all-black men's team on everything, it's their decision. I'd say it's stupid. I'd say they're probably racially dividing and basically alienating others who would be capable of competing. But this is a back to everybody's got to be equal. Wait a minute. If we're all going to be equal, I've got to be a little bit better than you. This is back to a consolation prize. The Winter Olympics. You're not going to get a gold, silver, or even bronze, but you will get a ribbon for participation. Is that what you want? Good God. The AP article continues. Immigration from Africa and the Middle East has transformed the demographics of Europe in recent decades. In many sports such as soccer, it has not made a dent in winter sports. Maybe they don't like to play the winter sports. Or they're not good at it. Now, would that be because they're Somalian? Or the way they were raised and what they were experiencing? I would bet soccer more often than snowboarding. The AP added this, the Olympic rosters of France, Germany, Switzerland, and other European winter sports look a lot like Sweden's, overwhelmingly white and lacking the immigration representation seen in the soccer or basketball team. Well, there you go. There you go. Obviously, they're not excluding them, but they have to compete against others to make the team. And maybe some of those who made the soccer or basketball team are really, really good, but they suck at skiing and other winter sports. And the narrator of the AP article continues, immigrants typically live in major urban areas from skiing hubs in the mountains and are in less privileged economic positions. How much money do you need to get on a pair of skis and go down a mountain like crazy? Well, I know there's a lot more money involved. I'm going to agree with that. But this is again, the idiocy. And we mentioned earlier when my boots on the ground correspondent Andrew had to say in Chicago, he said, when are they going to look at the NBA team? Well, as a matter of fact, Robbie Starbuck, known for his opposition to diversity, equity, and so forth, said, wait until you guys find out about the racial demographics in the NBA. I don't know too many Somalians who are out there, do you? Coming up, Mondami waging war against small business, the very businesses that help New York City stay alive. He is waging war on them in such a way they're going to be wiped out. And he's losing some port. We'll get into that in more detail in our next segment. And before we wrap up this hour, the story behind the story. When I took the polygraph exam, lied, got away with it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I've told you how Tom Shaw Realtors can help you buy, sell homes, farms, acreage. Listen to what Tom Shaw Realtors did in 2025. More than 100 properties sold, $52 million in sales. ShawRealtors.com. 2026, a great time to visit Lit Cigar Lounge. The Lit Cigar Facebook has numerous events from tastings to music. My main reason for going to Lit is always quality cigars, premium whiskeys. Odds are we'll see each other at Lit Cigar Lounge. A few doors down, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Get a pizza baked over coals. Excellent crust and flavor. Or choose one of the many great pasta dishes. You won't leave hungry. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta and Lit Cigar Lounge in the Chesterfield Valley. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products. Exceptional service. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, when Zoran Mondani was elected to New York City mayor, a lot of folks said, oh, we're going to go to hell in a handbasket in a hurry. But they would say, no, no, everybody be equal, everybody be the same, and we'll all survive. But small businesses are feeling the crunch in particular. In fact, the Small Business League has put out a statement that Mondani's class warfare against New York businesses is economic vandalism. I want to break that down in more detail with Dennis Neal, author of the book Oregoners, an award-winning journalist, also previously with CNBC, also with the Wall Street Journal and Forbes. Dennis, welcome aboard, sir.
Well, thanks so much. It's so great to talk to you, Larry.
So let's begin with this, and I know the statement is not from you, but I assume you agree with this position of the American Small Business League, that what Mondani is doing in New York is destroying small business, which is the center of that city.
Well, you know, destroying is an awfully strong word, especially when you apply it to New York City, which is so big and diverse and creative. And so nothing can destroy it. But he sure can make life harder for small business. And small business is the backbone of the New York economy, even with Wall Street there. And it's the backbone of the U.S. economy. But just about every move Mondani has made so far has been bad for business. And it's kind of interesting that a group is pushing back so soon. You know, look at what he's done. He wants to take Newsmax off of taxicab, panels so that people can't watch a conservative network. And he came out with a press conference. You know, Steve Forbes, my old boss, when I was managing editor of Forbes magazine, came out with an opinion piece in Fox News yesterday. And he's talking about they had a press conference accusing DoorDash and Uber Eats, right, and delivery apps, okay, that are employing hundreds and hundreds of people of color and immigrants in New York City, accusing them of draining $500 million from their wages. Well, that's because you guys raised the wages to $21. He wants to raise it to $35 an hour. And so the companies responded by saying, you know what, we're going to instead have you get tipped, and that's not going to be taxed the same way, and so we're going to move your pay over to tips. And it turns out what they left out, as Steve Forbes pointed out, is these delivery guys earned $1.2 billion,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
last year. So be happy for them. What are you doing? Why are you demonizing these people of color who are able to, you know, earn a better life?
But we were told whenever we would face a hurdle or some kind of bump with Mondani, he was evolving. He was slowly going to get his feet on the ground and things would evolve and it would all be good in the end. Do you buy that?
Right. He was going to be a moderate.
Yeah.
But then at midnight, upon being sworn in, one of his first moves was to lift all of the executive orders that Mayor Adams had put in place since his September indictment or something on some $100,000 gift thing from a decade ago that never led to any policy change. Okay, she wiped out, and in there was a couple of provisions protecting Jews from anti-Semitism. And so for this Muslim guy accused of anti-Semitic statements in the past to make that one of his first acts was a clear slap you. I don't care what you feel. Two million Jews in New York.
Right.
And some of them, a lot of them, had voted for him.
I know. How do you explain that?
You know, is it the self-loathing? I don't know. Is it that you're so conditioned to liberal causes that you don't even examine your stances? You just knee-jerk march with it because it gives you some kind of virtue signaling meaning in your life? I just don't get it. I'm stunned that Mamdani won election in New York. I'm stunned that the Democrat Party failed to put up better candidates than Cuomo, who had so many scandals attached to him. And we know from Linda Sarsour, a controversial Muslim American terrorist sympathizer, that Mamdani has been groomed by Muslim groups since 2014. He became a citizen only in 2018. And you know, Asra Nomani, a great journalist on FoxNews.com, she's a friend of mine, showed us that 23 Muslim groups have funded the Mamdani campaign.
Mm. You know,
as well as a dozen or two dozen Democrat groups, okay, and unions.
Yeah, they're all going to line up.
What are you guys doing?
You're listening to Dennis Neal, and he has a book out called Oregoners. Has it been released yet, or is it still about?
It has not been released. I'm writing it as we speak. I'm writing a chapter today.
I'm sorry we interrupted, Naaman. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm happy to have it. But, you know, especially when the writer is writing, he wants any interruption he can find. You know,
yeah.
We love gathering information, but then a lot of times you hate having to let it leave your fingertips.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, you
it's
can
never
count
as good on the screen as it is in your head.
Maybe you can credit me as a muse for you, maybe, or a muse month. But what's the premise of that, though, is taking what we've been talking about with New York City and looking at it as a whole within the state of Oregon. Draw that parallel.
Yes, because Oregon is, and Portland especially, is the canary in a coal mine for blue states and blue cities. It is so small that it's an incubator lab for democracy and communism, yeah. And it's been acting that way. You know, Oregon, I think it was in the 60s or 70s, one of the first sanctuary cities. You know, Portland and Oregon, after the Supreme Court came out with a ruling on the homeless, they came out, Grants Pass case in Oregon, Grants Pass, they came out and made it even better for homeless people to live on the streets. I mean, they hand out tents and tarps. They bring them clean needles and tin foil for their methamphetamine powder to be able to snort off of clean tin foil. You know, they make life as comfortable as possible for the homeless. When one guy who was homeless for 4 years in the 2000s told me, you should make life as miserable as possible to get them off the street.
Well, I've always wondered why do you want to be on the streets homeless in Portland? And then if I were going to do it, I'd go south to L.A.
Right. It's just that Oregon is a guy. I was talking to a former district attorney, 24 years in the state, okay, in various districts. And he said that it's become a destination, a welfare destination for riffraff, basically, and drug addicts. No one can go there, face no legal penalties. I drove past a place in Portland a month or two ago selling 3 fentanyl pills for $1.
Hmm.
Okay. I mean, it's like walking around downtown. It's like walking around Mad Max film. Okay. That's the way it feels. It reminds me of New York City when I first moved there in the early 80s, when I was almost mugged 3 times in the first 6 months. It was a dangerous city back then. It got a lot better. And then it got worse in the past few years in New York. And all of these cities are showing some of these same signs. But in Oregon, Portland is 65% of the media market. So the messaging the Democrats can get away with is just clear. And when you're in an insane environment, studies have shown this, you're unable to diagnose sanity and find it anywhere. And that's what's happened in Oregon. And there's no accountability for all of the bad things happening. And the unions, there's a couple of unions that basically control state government. Because there's no limit on campaign contributions.
Now, I was going to bring that up. There is no limit, so they're going to continue to spend, and they're going to get exactly what they're buying.
The unions put $6 million into the campaign of Governor Kotick, and that's more than any other contributing class for her election in 2022. And I'm told by a Democrat operative that when you're a state legislator, Democrat, first elected office, the first day you show up, the union shows up, SEIU, mm-hmm. and so the government employees union, and says, right. hey, here's your chief of staff. And it's a union official.
Right.
Okay. I was told a few weeks ago they put the 2-year budget for the next fiscal period, brought it to the governor's office and said, here's your budget. They wrote it.
Yeah. Now, one final pass on the issue before we have to let you go, and that you began by pointing out how Oregon is kind of the canary in the coal mine, and other blue states and blue cities and New York should see what's happening. They should see it, then they do see it. But I don't see anything being done about it other than, wink, wink, let's move on.
You know, a number of people in Oregon told me that it won't fix itself until, like an addict, it hits true rock bottom. And it's just not miserable enough yet. And I think that might be true of New York, too. It could take some time. And yet the reaction from the people is instant. Remember in California, the mere mention of, hey, let's go ahead and tax billionaires just one time, we'll tax their wealth, led to $1 trillion, half of what they had in billionaire wealth in California, fled before Jan 1, 2026, fled that possibility. In Portland's county, they passed a law for a preschool for all tax. Oh, hey, let 3- and 4-year-olds go to preschool free. Well, they've raised hundreds of millions of dollars. And in the 3 years of that tax passing, 31% of the 1,000 richest taxpayers in the county fled. They moved out.
They're smart. They're smart. Dennis Neal, I want to thank you for your time as always. We'll watch for you wrapping up the book, Oregoners. I'm going to let you get back to writing, and we'll look forward to you releasing it, and we'll have you back on the air.
Thanks so much.
You bet. Dennis Neal, previously at CNBC and Fox Business Network, and also with Forbes. Coming up, this is a thing I probably should never admit since I have built my career on my credibility, but I lied and got away with it on a polygraph.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. The best thing I ever did for my neck and back pain was go to Esquire Sports Medicine. Dr. Draghi and his staff can take care of those pains. If they can't, they'll refer you to a specialist. And when you're hurting, you don't want to wait. So often with Dr. Draghi and Esquire Sports Medicine, you're treated within 24 hours. For any joint or muscle pain, contact my doctor, Dr. Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine, on Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. Another day, must be another roofer in town. John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing, and the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts, windows icing up again, utility costs surging, you're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
We use it for several different reasons. One would be to clear somebody of a crime. If they're a suspect, it's a good way to clear them of it, or it's a good way to confirm that they are the person that we're looking for. A lot of times it helps us with interviewing people, that type of thing. Polygraphs aren't admissible in court, so we can't bring the results into court and say, here, he failed the test or he passed the test, that type of thing. But it's more of an investigative aid.
An investigative aid. That's what the polygraph basically does nowadays. The polygraph was first invented in 1921 by John Larson, a medical student at the University of California, Berkeley. And he began to look at blood pressure, pulse, respiration to determine if someone were lying. This is not that much different than you as a kid standing in front of your mom or your dad, and you're denying that you ate the last chocolate chip cookie when you've got a cookie crumb on the corner of your lip. And you're kind of shaking and your voice is tweaking and your heart's racing and you're thinking any moment I'm going to pass it. The polygraph will record all of that. The question is it a true factual event, or is it triggered by your fear of the machine, or that you just are having a bad day? In the U.S., since 1923, a landmark case, Fry v. U.S., set the precedent for excluding polygraph results from federal courts due to their lack of reliability. Numerous state courts have followed, maybe sometimes allowing in some instances, but sometimes maybe only as the investigative aid. You can't actually take it in. It just helps investigators pursue their case. There is a major case, one of many I'm going to cite for you a little bit later, a major case where a guy denied having anything to do with multiple murders, and he walked away free based on that polygraph. He would have been. But we'll get to that part of the story in a moment. I told you that I, at one time, as a news reporter, did a piece on the polygraph and what they were trying to find. You need to know this. Despite what you see sometimes in the movies, they're not throwing ambush questions at the person they're making inquiries. They tell you in advance what they're going to be asking. They don't want to have you suddenly shocked by a question that you weren't expecting. They go over in detail question that they're going to ask. Some say, well, it gives you time to prepare and be ready for it. Yes. At the same time, though, they think that takes out the possibility that you quite tricked into something. There are no surprise questions. They have a pretest questionnaire in many agencies, again, to identify things like might trigger some responses that not really tied to what they're investigating. Have you had prior drug use, things of that nature? And they're looking at a murder case, nothing to do with drugs. but they want to know what else you got in your history that might send a false positive. So when I tell you that I took the polygraph and got away with the lying, I'm not the first to do that. And I will not be the last. But it's not admissible in court, basically. We have companies that want their employees to take polygraphs. And those cases are fought on a one-by-one basis as well. Because if you're told you must take the polygraph or they're going to fire you, well, you got a right to stand up for your beliefs as well, right? You could go to the Constitution and make it clear that's an unreasonable search and seizure, basically. You can have an attorney, but the attorney cannot be present in the room during the polygraph. So here's how it played out when I was doing the testing. I told you that there are no surprise questions. So I actually wrote the 10 questions I wanted to be asked. 10 questions. And four of them I answered truthfully, be it either yes or no. And they don't want a full explanation. It's just basically a yes or no answer. So four of them I did exactly based upon the information, since I knew what I was writing, I was factual. On three of them, I said a lie when it was actually true. On three others, I claimed it was the truth when it was actually a lie. I got caught on two. One where I lied and said it was true. And I got caught on one where I said it was false and it wasn't. Of course, I already knew how I was going to play the game. And since we're doing it for TV, so did the examiner. And they're very careful to admit and point out to you, this is not a final catch for anyone. That's why they consider it as an investigative tool. Sometimes it's just a matter of using it as a threat. Well, we'll put you on the polygraph. And you see guys on various TV shows or movies, I'll take a polygraph. They know it can't be used against them if they're doing that normally. And secondly, well, then, okay, if you're going to do it, then we will go ahead and hook you up and see what happens. But again, they're going to be limited in how they can use it. I'd mentioned earlier that there's a very major case involving multiple murders where the polygraph examiners did not get the correct answer, and they were willing to let the suspect go free. I think you might remember some details of this case, and that is the other part of the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them, and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
There's two pneumo tubes that we put on. One is for the upper chest, one is for the belly. Males are typically belly breathers. Females are typically chest breathers. We measure them both to cover both areas. And we look for slowing of the breathing, stopping breathing. People typically, if they tell a lie, they either hold their breath or their breathing slows way down. So we look for that. The cardio, your blood pressure. In that, we look for spikes in your blood pressure, your heart rate, that type of thing. That's an indicator of somebody being deceptive. And then the galvanic skin response, that measures the electrical conductivity in the skin when it's reacting to stimulus such as fear, that type of thing.
In other words, you're sweating and it picks it up. You're sweating kind of profusely. You got something to hide. As an examiner discussing why they put two cords around your body, your torso, the upper chest and the abdominal, and he explained why, then they hook up your finger to a skin monitor. And then they had the blood pressure watch as well. When the polygraph was invented in 1921, as I'd pointed out earlier, it quickly became a tool of police, even though it still wasn't verified if it's going to be accurate or not. And there's no doubt it was abused at that time. But it was rapidly put into place for police work. First used in a criminal trial, actually, in 1935. But it also, later into the 40s, became a tool for the government, for those who went to work for our government. And, of course, trying to ferret out communists and others inside our government. It was abused repeatedly, and many people lost their jobs, if not eventually everything they had, because they were either falsely labeled or they refused to take it and they lost the opportunity they had. As I'd mentioned earlier, you're not going to be asked anything that they have not already discussed with you. The whole idea is to set up a control atmosphere. They've got the two monitors, one on your chest, one on your abdomen. They're watching for your skin electricity reaction, your pressure, your heart pressure, and watching for anything that may show up as a spike on the graph. Now, you're in a position where you can see the monitor, and you see it spike, that might frighten you. So you're not allowed to see the monitor. They don't want you to be either frightened by it or encouraged by it. So when I told my lies on 6 of the 10 questions I'd built, and I got caught on one of them where I was telling the truth, but it showed that I lied, and then I got caught on another one where I was lying, but it said I was telling the truth. It shows that if you get by with two like that, then how can you even begin to consider it as a possible criminal device, I mean a criminal tool for a full court case? Now, again, the investigators can use it as a tool. But in the federal courts, as I said, since 1923, they cannot use it. And, of course, state laws vary, but in general, they do not either. And that there are so many cases where if it were absolutely 100% correct, think of how many crimes could be solved quickly. And then again, is it the machine or the person administering it and reading the results? In 2003, a guy by the name of Gary Ridgway, you remember him, Jerome shaking his head, known as the Green River Killer. This was in the Seattle area. He had murdered 49 women. Murdered 49. In 1987, he had passed a lie detector test regarding some of those who had been murdered. He passed it. They came out and said, he's all good. Nothing to see here. But there was another guy that they said, this one we need to look closer at. In fact, they were convinced he was the Green River Killer. He had failed the test, according to the examiner. Turned out he was innocent. And it all became obvious when in 2003, Gary Ridgway admitted, I am the Green River Killer. If the polygraph could have determined that when they were giving it to him in 1987, some of those women might still be alive. And another man wouldn't have been looked at as a killer for a period of time. You're never going to get everything the way you want in any case with all the facts lining up. We look at DNA now in a way that we never did before. That has certainly changed things. And to me, when it comes down to any criminal being sentenced, especially on a capital crime. I'm not going to rely on just eyewitnesses, because eyewitnesses often get a lot of information wrong. You can put them on the polygraph and they're going to verify it's this and this and this, and yet it's wrong. Maybe in their head it's correct, which gets around also to how can you beat the polygraph if you're intending to do it? Do you control your breathing? Some go into one and try to conceal a thumbtack that they can kind of prick their finger with occasionally. And it obviously creates a different response. But it still doesn't tell you, is it fact or fiction? When we ran that story, that would have been, I want to say, back in the early 80s, mid-80s. Yes, I'm that old. Never mind. But the bottom line was, I had several police agencies upset with me because we'd pointed out there are ways to trick it and get around it. I said, guys, you know this. What's wrong with the public knowing it? They should know it. Most of them understood, and they also knew that, yeah, there's a limit, and we know there's a limit. That's why they could not take any of it into court. But again, the testing going on with DNA and everything else that might come down the road, it will be closely examined, needs to be certified before fully admissible. Tomorrow's story behind the story, busting the chicken ranch. The chicken ranch, you might recall something with a book and a movie and a stage play. Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Yes, I was part of that bust as well. The Chicken Ranch story. Tomorrow, the story behind the story. Coming up, more threats from Iran. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. Ever been in a wreck or felt as if you've been in a wreck? My advice, contact Dr. Bill Draghi, Esquire Sports Medicine. Yes, they can treat wreck victims, falls, other hazards of life, sports injuries. I go at least twice a month. That keeps the joints in line. Part of your spine get out of line, you start compensating, you're going to have additional pain. Don't be that guy. Visit Esquire Sports Medicine, Big Ben, just north of 40. EsquireSportsMedicine.com. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as Support Dogs for Our Brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Renewal by Anderson asking, are you still battling cold drafts? Windows icing up again? Utility costs surging? You're worried about paying more every month? The truth is, you may already be paying for new windows and money lost to energy escaping your home. And here's the thing, you don't want to do this project twice. Renewal by Anderson spends every day replacing bad technology, poor installation of windows and doors that simply don't stand the test of time. But you can afford the best, America's most trusted window replacement company, Anderson. Call 877-WINDOWS or visit rbastl.com. Learn about our December savings event right now. 877-WINDOWS, rbastl.com. Renewal by Anderson. Superior products, exceptional service.
This is News Talk STL.